First Peter chapter 1, verse number 6. The scripture says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we are very, very thankful to be alive and be healthy enough to be here at church today. Very thankful for those that are with us. And Lord, you know every heart, you know every life, you know everything that's going on. You know the burdens, the heaviness, the trials, the tribulations. You know every situation. And Lord, we ask you to please meet each need. And Lord, we pray that if there's somebody here today that's lost, that this day would be their day of salvation. For those of us that are already saved, I pray you would speak to our hearts and change our lives in any way that they need to be changed. Lord, I ask you to please fill me with your spirit and give me liberty that I can say the things that you want said exactly as you want them said. And Lord, most of all, I pray you give us all the grace to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And this I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Amen. The title for the message this morning is If Need Be. If Need Be. And that's a title that I took from the verse that we just read. And to kind of get us where I feel like the Lord wants us to go with the message, I want you to look with me once again at this verse and notice a couple of truths about the recipients of Simon Peter's first epistle. Notice there, verse number 6, Peter says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." And the "wherein" is a reference back to something that is mentioned in the previous verse. So if you look back at verse number 5, you'll notice he says there, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The "wherein" of verse number 6 is a reference back to their salvation that he mentions in verse number 5. So he says in verse number 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice." One thing I see here is that these believers were greatly rejoicing in their salvation. And I believe that's how it ought to be with all believers. Amen? I mean, if there's anything that's going to put great joy in our hearts, it ought to be the fact that we're saved by the grace of God and headed toward heaven. Amen. So this is something that should be true of all believers. But notice he goes on to say, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season." We're going to look at a few of these words here so we can better understand what he's saying. He says, "Now for a season." A season is a certain period of time. Kind of like the seasons of the year. You have winter, you have spring, you have summer, you have fall. And these last for a certain amount of time. You don't have all winter or all spring or all summer, all fall. You have a winter season, a spring season, a summer season, and a fall season. And that's what a season is. It's a specific period of time. And he says here, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." The last word in that verse is temptations. And I've taught you before that in the Bible, there are two types of temptation. One is an enticement or a solicitation to sin. It's when a person is enticed to do something that is sinful or wrong. But then there are also temptations that are trials of our faith. They're tests that we have to go through in our lives as believers. And oftentimes the Bible refers to these as fiery trials of our faith. And that's the way Simon Peter is using the word temptation in this verse. And you know that because look here at verse number 6 and the beginning of verse number 7. Verse number 6 ends with temptations. Then there's a colon. He goes right into verse number 7 that says the trial of your faith. So in this verse, Simon Peter's not talking about solicitations or enticements to sin. He's talking about trials of our faith. Specifically, he's talking about fiery trials of our faith, because in verse 7, he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, notice, though it, your faith, be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So he's talking here about fiery trials. Now notice another word he uses in verse number 6. He says, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The word manifold means many kinds or multiple. So he's talking here about them going through many different kinds or multiple trials, fiery trials of their faith. That's what Peter's talking about. One other thing I want you to see, which is really what gave me the idea, is what the Lord used to give me the idea for the message today. He says in verse 6, though now for a season, if need be. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The implication is that these believers needed, y'all following me? They needed to be in this season where they were enduring manifold fiery trials of their faith. That's what he's implying here, that this was something these Christians needed in their lives at this time. And I am of the persuasion that just like you and I should greatly rejoice in our salvation, we also need, seasons of temptations in our life. That's something we need. And I realize that's probably hard for us to understand, because we don't like to think that we need anything that might be hard or might be difficult or might go against the grain or might cause us some heaviness, as it says there in verse number 6. It's hard for us to accept that. But the truth of the Bible is that you and I, from time to time, need those seasons where we have to go through fiery trials. That's what we need. And since God, according to the scripture, shall supply all our need. That's Philippians 4:19, by the way, a verse that most of us are familiar with. But generally speaking, when we think about the promise in Philippians 4:19, we're thinking about how God's going to provide a need along the lines of something financial or maybe something physical or something that has to do with our family. That's what we think about. But the Bible says there, my God shall supply, listen to it now, all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So if it's something that I need, not something necessarily that I want or don't want, but if it's something that I need in my life, guess what God's going to do? He's going to supply that need. And since, as a believer, there are times I need to go through a fiery trial, you know what's going to happen? God's going to see to it that I go through some fiery trials. That's just reality. This is one reason, I believe, why Peter says what he does on over in this same epistle in chapter 4. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 4 with me for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 4. How many of you understand God's not in the business of always giving us what we want? Amen? God's in the business of supplying what we need. And sometimes what we need isn't necessarily what we want, right? Sometimes we don't want what we need. But 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse number 12, this is what Peter says, 4:12. He says, beloved, so he's talking to saved people here, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's amazing how we are sometimes as believers. We go along in our Christian life and we go through a trial and we're just taken back by it. We act like it's something strange or something foreign, something that just really shouldn't happen in our lives as believers. But Peter says we shouldn't think it strange concerning the fiery trial. And one reason we don't need to think it strange is because that's something that we need from time to time in our lives. Now, thank God it's just for a season. Thank the Lord that we don't enter into these times where we're going through fiery trials and they just last forever. That'd be like it turning off cold and staying cold, you know, 20 degrees all year long. That wouldn't be very pleasant, right? Well, I can tell you the Christian life wouldn't be really enjoyable, although God never intended for it to always be enjoyable, but it wouldn't be really enjoyable if you stayed in the fire all the time. So it's just for a season, okay? And thank the Lord for it. But I'm telling you, and I want you to get your head around this morning, the fact that you as a believer, one of God's children, need seasons in your life where you have to go through fiery trials. And I'm going to try to show you this morning just a few reasons, real practical reasons why you and I need these fiery trials. Why we need those seasons in our life. And I hope that maybe this will be a blessing to you. Number one, let me say this. We need seasons of fiery trials or temptations, ever how you want to say it, because those times, those seasons, reveal areas of weakness in our lives. They reveal areas of weakness. Those fiery trials that you have to go through. If any of you are familiar at all, and I'm not overly familiar, I know just a little bit, but if you're familiar with people that work with metal, one thing you'll know is that they use fire when they're working with that metal, right? That's something that's just constant when they're working with metal. There's fire always involved in some way, and one reason why they use that fire is to reveal any weakness that there might be in the metal that they're working with. And I'm telling you one reason why God uses fiery trials in our life is so he can reveal to us, not to himself because he already knows where we're weak, but to reveal to us those areas in our lives where we're not as strong spiritually as we need to be. And let's all lay aside our halos for just a little while this morning and be honest enough to admit that all of us have some weak areas. Amen. Me, you, every last one of us got some areas in our spiritual lives where we're not as strong as we need to be. Sometimes it's our faith that's weak. Sometimes we're weak when it comes to patience. Sometimes we're weak when it comes to our courage or our zeal or our joy or our commitment to the things of God. We all have those areas where we're not as developed and as strong as we need to be. And listen to me for just a minute. Oftentimes, we are blind to the weaknesses in our own lives. We don't see what is glaringly obvious to other people. Y'all ever notice that? And this isn't about people looking at us in a condemning light or judging us. It's just simply them being around us and getting to know us, and they're able to discern that there's a weakness or perhaps weaknesses in our life. And again, it's not them thinking they're holier than thou or better than us. It's just them becoming familiar with us and getting to know us. They see very obviously that there's some weak spots there, some areas where we're not as strong as we need to be. But oftentimes we're as blind as a bat, and we don't see it. But you know what God has to do? To open our eyes and give us the revelation that we need about ourselves, not about others, but about our own selves. He puts us in that fiery furnace. He allows us to go in to the fire, and that trial or those trials that we go through makes us aware of the weak spots in our lives. And maybe we don't want to see them, but listen to me. If you got weak areas in your life as a Christian, you need to see those weak areas. God needs to reveal that to you, because the only way you can do anything about a weak area in your life is to first realize you've got a weak area in your life. And we sit here this morning and all agree, yeah, we got areas of weakness. But still, in admitting that we have areas of weakness, oftentimes we don't realize what those weaknesses are. We're blinded to those things, not necessarily intentionally, but we're blinded. So God has to use the fire to reveal weakness in our lives. I think again about those people that work with metal. They'll put that thing in that fire. Before they put it in there, they can't see the weak spot. They maybe can't see the crack or the area where that metal is messed up. But once they put it in there and heat it up, you know what that fire does? It exposes, it reveals to them what was there all the time. They just couldn't see it. They didn't realize it was there, but once that thing goes in there and heats up, they begin to pick up those spots where that metal has a problem, where there's weaknesses, and that's what God does. We're going along through life, and we got areas where we're not growing, where we're not as strong as we need to be as a Christian, and we're just oblivious to it. We don't even realize that those weak spots are there. We think we're doing all right. And then we, boom, right in the middle of a fiery trial. God puts us in that fire. And you know what he begins to show us as time goes by? We're not as strong as we thought we were. We got some areas of weakness that need to be addressed in our lives before we can move on and be the stronger Christian that he intends for us to be. So one reason why you need those seasons of fiery trials in your life is to reveal areas of weakness. Let me give you a second reason why, as a Christian, you will need and you do need those seasons of fiery trials. Secondly, so God can remove impurities and hindrances from our lives. So he can remove impurities and hindrances from our lives. One word that you hear whenever people are working with metal is a word called dross. Y'all heard that word before? Dross, D-R-O-S-S. It's a Bible word also, by the way. You know what dross is by definition? One definition of dross is waste or foreign matter. Impurity is a word. And that's something that will develop on metal. And you know what these metal workers used to get rid of that dross? One thing they used to get rid of it. They talk about burning away the dross. You know what they use? They use fire to burn away that dross. To get rid of that stuff that's really no good. It's just impurity. And all it does is cheapen or lessen the quality of the metal that they're working with. You take something like gold, for example. Gold is a precious metal. I mean, it's worth a whole lot of money, right? Let me ask you this. If you have a chunk of gold and it is worth a whole lot, but it's covered with dross, is somebody going to pay as much for that chunk of gold as they might if the dross was gone? Not going to. Not if it's all covered with dross. Not going to do that. They're not going to spend a lot of money. That dross has to be gotten away. That's why when you go into a jeweler's shop and you got gold there, it's all shiny, right? You don't walk into a jeweler's shop and find rings that are all covered over with dross and look bad. Why don't you find it that way? Because that man knows people are not going to walk in and pay good money for a ring that looks nasty like that. And nowadays, if you go in and buy some bling, you're going to have to shell out for it. You know what I mean? Somebody's not going to come in and pay $400, $500, $600, $700, $1,000, whatever it costs for a ring if it's all covered over with dross and looks nasty. That dross cheapens or lessens the value of that gold. You know what happens when we get stuff in our life that's dirty and nasty, impurities? You know what it does? It lessens our value spiritually. It dims down the shine. That's what that dross does. When it covers it up, it keeps it from shining. But when they get all that dross taken away and they polish that ring up or whatever it is, you know what it does then? It shines real bright, doesn't it? But as long as the dross is there, it dims the shine. Now listen to me. I'm not stretching this thing out too far. Look at what the Bible says over here in chapter 2. Talk about these jewels and stones and things that are so beautiful. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at what it says here. Verse number 4. It says, to whom, talking about the Lord, verse number 3, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Jesus Christ in the Bible is likened unto a stone. A living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Look at what he says about us believers. Ye also as what? Lively stones. He is the stone of all stones, and we are lively stones. We're a smaller version of the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like Jesus said this of himself. He said, I am the light of the world, right? What did he say about us? Matthew 5:16. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He is the light of the world, but he says of us that we are the light of the world and we are to shine in this world. He is the lively stone. We are lively stones, and one thing he expects out of us is for us to shine brightly in this world down here. But I'm telling you, when we got nastiness in our life, and it's not hard. Y'all still with me? It's not hard to get dirty in this world today. All you got to do is spend an hour or two every day watching TV and you'll get enough filth there to corrupt you for a long, long time. Just well shake your head, because it's true. Listen to a little music on Wayo and you'll be corrupted good for the whole week. Amen. It don't take long. You just go stand in line at Walmart, look at a magazine hanging there and get something in your mind that you don't need in your mind. It's not hard to get dirty. And all of us, to some extent, have this dirtiness, these impurities in us, and it's dimming down the shine. We're not able to shine as brightly because of that dross, that nastiness that's in our life. And the Lord puts us in that fire, see, to burn away that dross so we can shine brighter for Him. Not just the impurities, but hindrances. Hindrances. We have things in our life that hinder us, hold us back. Keep us bound up where we can't move forward like we need to as Christians. Lord, use that fire to burn that stuff away. And most of us in here can think of a good illustration of what I'm talking about back in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. Y'all remember that story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three Hebrew boys. Where do they get thrown? They get thrown in a fiery furnace. But here's the thing about it. Before they get thrown in there, they are bound, y'all remember that, hand and foot, and thrown into that fire. One thing that gets old Nebuchadnezzar's attention is he looks in there and he sees them loosed, the Bible says, and walking around in that fire. And when they come out of the fire, it says they don't even have on them the smell of smoke. And the only thing that got burned, are y'all listening to me? They didn't get a hair singed. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. The only thing that got burnt off of them was what? Things that had them bound. That's it. God took away that bondage. You know how he took away the bondage, though? He put them in a fire. That's how. We got some stuff in our life that we just simply will not get rid of. God's dealt with us time and time again, and we just hang on to it and hang on to it, and we're in bondage to it now. Because we wouldn't get rid of it in the beginning. When God first dealt with us, we wouldn't just lay the thing aside, and we kept toying with it and playing with it and hanging on to it. Now we're a slave to it, and it's hindering us. And we're not able to move forward because we're enslaved to that thing. And we have to spend a certain amount of time each and every day just giving to that addiction. That's really what it is, just giving to that thing. We're in bondage to it. And that time that we're wasting on that hindrance, we could be spending moving forward for the glory of God. But since we won't do that, you know what he does? He brings those seasons into our life where he says, all right, it's time to go into the fire a little while. And listen, we don't need to look at that as a bad thing. We ought to see it as, hey, he loves me enough that he's going to do something to help me when I'm not even willing to help my own self. He's going to use a trial that I have no control over. He's going to bring something into my life that I have no control over, and he's going to use that fiery trial to burn this hindrance out of my life. We ought to be thankful for that. God would do that for us. So you need it to reveal areas of weakness. You need it to remove impurities and hindrances. Let me say this. Another reason why I believe we need these fiery trials is so that we can reach out to others. Reach out to others. And I've seen this illustrated many times. I believe the Lord lets us go through fiery trials, things that are really hard. I'm not just talking about, you know, you stumped your toe or you got a hangnail. I'm talking about fiery trials. Y'all know what I mean? Real stuff. Real stuff. He lets us go through some of these things so that later on he can use our experience to reach out to somebody else. If you and I never went through a hard time in life, how could we ever minister to somebody that went through a hard time? Y'all ever thought about that? I mean, we don't like the hard times, but how in the world could God ever use us to minister to somebody who's going through a fiery trial if we never went through a fiery trial ourselves? There's no way we could understand. And like I've told you before, we're bad about talking to people and say, yeah, I understand how you feel. And you've never been there, so you don't really know how they feel, do you? It's almost a slap in the face, an insult for you to say, I know how you feel, when you don't know how they feel. I tell you what God will do. He'll let you go through something where you'll be able to understand what somebody's going through. I have a family member, and I don't know if I've told you about this before, but I have a family member. He lives in Florida. And he was diagnosed many years ago with leukemia. That's what he got. And the situation got looking pretty bad there. But the Lord healed him. And ever since that time, it's been many, many, many years ago, his leukemia has been in remission, hadn't come back. He's been healed of his leukemia. He's a member of a Baptist church down there, and do you know that his pastor calls on him time and time and time again because they have a big, big congregation. He calls on him time and again to go to the hospital or to homes of people in that congregation that have been diagnosed with leukemia or maybe some type of cancer. And God has used that man time and time and time again to minister to those people. You know why he's able to do that? You know why his pastor calls on him? Because his pastor had never had leukemia. His pastor had never been diagnosed with cancer. So while the pastor might be able to show up at the hospital or their home or whatever and read them some Bible and pray with them and try to help be a comfort to them, he cannot understand all of the emotions and the feelings that those people are going through. But my relative has been there. So he calls on him and he goes and he's able to sit down there with them and he's able to say things to them that that pastor would never be able to say to them. Or anybody who had never been there is able to say. God lets you go through some stuff so you can reach out. He wants to use you. It's just we are so messed up in our mindset about life. We just think it's all about us and God doing good to us. Let me tell you something. You're down here for God to use you. You understand that? It's not just so you can go through life and be healthy, wealthy, and wise and get everything you want. You're down here ultimately for his pleasure. And if it's his pleasure to put you in the fire so he can better use your life for his glory, you ought to be thankful to God for that. And myself as well. But that's hard, I realize. He does it to reach out to others. Here's another reason, just a couple more and I'll be done. I tell you another reason why you need those fiery trials is to reform your life. To reform your life. Would we be willing enough to admit this morning that sometimes our lives get out of shape? That we start getting bent in a direction that we don't need to go? Headed in the wrong direction? Headed some places that we know will not be honoring to God, will not be pleasing to God. Maybe we get bent toward the world. And we're starting to become worldly in our Christian life. Maybe we're bent toward the bitterness, unforgiveness, just any number of things. But we start getting bent in the wrong direction. And go back to the people that work with that metal. I've seen this one show. Some of you might have seen it. It comes on television. It's called Forged in Fire. Anybody in here seen that before? Some of you seen it. But you know what that thing's about. It's about people that make knives and swords and all that kind of stuff. And you know what's always there when they're doing it? Always. Fire is always there. They use that fire to manipulate that metal. And they'll put that thing in there, whatever they're supposed to be building, and sometimes they'll bring it out and it ain't shaped like they want it to. You know what they have to do? To be able to work that thing, maybe they pulled it out and they beat on it or whatever, and it's starting to cool down and it's just not shaping like they want to. You know what they have to do so they can form that thing like they want it to be formed? You know what they got to do? They got to stick it back in that fire and warm it up again so they can bring it back out and reform it or form it the way they want it. Sometimes our lives get out of whack and we're pointing in a direction that God doesn't want us to go. And because he loves us and he sees the direction we're headed and doesn't want us to keep going that way, you know what he'll do? He'll put us in that fire. How many times have you in your own life, or maybe you've heard of somebody that you know had gotten kind of wayward and they weren't doing right, and then something rough happened to them? You know what I'm talking about? And it got them back in church. Got them straightened out. That crook that was in their life where they were going the wrong way, God used that fiery trial to straighten them back out, and now they're back in church and they're back in line and they're going on for God. And that's what matters, friend, is God doing that work to keep us straight like we need to be in our lives. Sometimes we need it to reform our lives. Last of all, I want to say this. I believe we need those times of fiery trials, those seasons, so we'll remember what's most important in life. Remember what's most important. Sometimes we lose focus. We get our affections set on things down here instead of them being set on things up there. We fall too much in love with stuff down here, and we begin to think that this stuff down here matters. Or at least in our mind, or the way we conduct our lives, the way we spend our time and our effort and our money and all this other stuff, we're just living out. We're saying that we believe this stuff down here. I'm talking about the things of this world are really valuable and they're really important. They really matter. And I'm not saying they're totally insignificant, okay? But wouldn't you agree that heavenly treasures and spiritual realities are far more important than the things of this world down here that are just temporal? Wouldn't y'all agree with that? But man, we get out of focus so bad sometimes. And we put the emphasis on this stuff down here like this stuff is going to be around forever, or we're going to be around forever to enjoy this. How many of you understand this morning, according to the Bible, everything down here one day is going up in flames? It's going to burn up. Every bit of it. But you will live forever. Jesus Christ says we ought to be laying up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. We get out of focus. So what the Lord has to do from time to time is he has to put us in the fire, burn us up real good, heat us up real good so that we'll quit focusing on this stuff. And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how you get refocused in a fiery trial? Isn't it amazing how stuff that did matter to you don't matter no more? You don't care about that stuff anymore, and you begin to focus on what really matters, like your family and like your church and your relationship with God and the Bible and prayer. You begin to focus on that stuff when you get in that fiery trial. Listen, if it's something that'll do that for us, if it'll get us to refocus, remember what really matters. And we don't need to see it as something bad. We need to see it as a blessing from God. Look at the verse one more time as we get ready to close. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Maybe right now you're in one of those seasons. It may be that right now you need that. Some of us in here may not be going through a fiery trial right now. We may be on the mountain and everything seems to be good. But you know what I've told you about that? Just hang on a little while. Everything may be hunky-dory right now, but I'm telling you, God is my witness, somewhere down the road from this day right here, you're going to need the fire. And God's going to put you in that fire. But when he does it, it'll be because you need it. Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, thank you for this day and again and the opportunity to be here. And Lord, it's sure hard because none of us want it. We don't want the fire. We don't want those trials and temptations. Man, it's so hard to even think that way. Our flesh just cringes at it, the thought of it. We don't want it. But Lord, I understand that sometimes we need it. It's what's best for us. And for that reason, I thank you for the times that we go through trials. For those maybe that are here today that are in a trial, fiery trial, rough time, God, please help them. Lord, please help them to see it from a spiritual perspective. God, I pray that you would accomplish what it is you want to accomplish in their situation. And we'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.